Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Y'all, we're in a really good part, a fat part. You ever got into a, how many of you guys like steak? Let me find out, who likes the sirloin steak? Who likes sirloin? Yuck. That's Wendy's favorite steak too. I can't stand it. Can't chew it. I don't know what it is. Who likes the New York strip? That's the piece right there, right? Or how about the ribeye? That's the ultimate. And of course, I couldn't afford anything past that. So if you like the prime, if you got the filet, who likes the filet? Yeah, that's for old people when your teeth fall out. You go, that's the fat too, right? So this morning, we're in the fat part. We're in the good part of the meat right here. This is a Saul portion that we're going to look. Only four verses, but we need to look at some other scripture. And there's a warning. So the sermon title is that, Warning Check for Spiritual Drift. But we got to talk about spiritual drift, right? Because the spiritual drift, we got to understand the people it was written to. What is the, who was this written to? The name of the book gives it away. Hebrews, and it's Christian Hebrews, right? But there's also some people in there that there's the writer of Hebrews is speaking to and with. You got to understand this, and this is important. We taught it this morning in Bible study, but I think you need to know it. If we were coming over here saying, went on the calendar, as best we know how, knowing there's a Jewish calendar, a Julian calendar, we got all the other calendars. I understand. I don't want to get so deep in that. But when was the birth of Jesus Christ? Yes. Around zero, right? When did he die? Ish. We scholars argue over it, but when? He was about 33 years old. So let's just call it for fun this morning. 33. When? AD or BC? Yeah, because BC is for Christ, and AD is Latin for, that's the Latin, but the word stands for, in English, it is the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even today's date, if you say, somebody says, what is today's date? You say, June 29th. Say the whole date. Today's date is June 29th, 2025, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they're trying to change on Wikipedia and other places, BCE, before Common Era. They're trying to change CE, Common Era. They're trying to change the word because if you even say today's date, you got to mention the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus changed the world. Amen? And so people want to actually change everything that has association with Jesus Christ, unless they want to make a Jesus of their own. Our Muslim brothers have done that in the Quran. Obviously, there's the Jesus of the Quran. He's not the Jesus of the Bible, so don't get that mixed up. Don't get caught into that trap. The Mormon Jesus is not our Jesus. Jesus is God. Who do the Mormons pray to? They pray to the Father. Guess who their father is? Adam. We talked about that this morning. Their father is Adam. They believe Adam and Eve populated these spiritual children. You and I are their spiritual children. This is their planet. When you become a Mormon, you're a good Mormon, do everything they say to do, you get your own planet. And guess what the people would call you? Some of y'all look at me with frumpy, grumpy faces. Go look it up for yourself. Who, if they pray to their father and they believe Adam is their father, who do they pray to? Adam. You can't have it any other way. Well, no, they're going to bypass the father. But anyway, let's continue because Adam is the father of this planet according to them. All right, last thing I want to hit on this week, as we get into the Hebrews, the study, we got all these other parameters hanging out there. We say, what about them? What about them? What about them? What about what Scripture says? That's where we're going to go on the authoritative act of Scripture. What does the Scripture say? Who is Jesus according to Scripture? And when we get into those arguments, we can actually say, wait a minute, does it match up? It doesn't matter what I do or don't know about another religion or cult. It matters what I know about what the Scripture says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is better. That's our series, right? And there's no word better on your bulletin. It doesn't actually say that on the front, if any of you looked it up. It just says Jesus is supreme. He's above. There's no word better there in the Greek. It's supreme. The supremacy of Christ. He's above all. Name something, I can tell you that Jesus is better. Amen? Name anything. More powerful, more authority, more knowledge. Put anything before yourself that you think has great power, and I'll tell you that Jesus is better. Jesus is stronger. Amen. Jesus is almighty. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. So we get into that place. We can argue over all the day long, but listen, when you come to the Word of God, the writer of Hebrews is trying to write to these people. They're in transition. Here's a question. Did Jesus live during the Old Testament or the New Testament? He lived during the Old Testament because the Old Testament was the Old Covenant. So Jesus actually, when he died on the cross, when he rose again, listen, he brought about the New Testament or the New Covenant, even though some of the New Testament covers Old Testament. Your Bible splits at Malachi and Matthew and says Old Testament, New Testament. So you need to know Jesus lived and he carried out, if you will, the Mosaic law. He actually fulfilled the law and the prophets is what he said about himself. So you got these people, and your heart's got to go out for these people somewhat, right? They were knucklehead. The Jewish people that have been hard-headed people for all their career. Is that true? But so have the Anglos, so have the Spanish, so have pick a people. Since Adam and Eve is our father and mother, our grandfather and grandmother, all of us have been hard-headed people, have we not? When they broke covenant with God, when they broke that promise with God, it has come to us through birth, through our mother's birth. But these people, I have a little bit of heart for them because when did Rome destroy the temple? AD 70, all right, temple's destroyed. When was the book of Hebrews written? Look in your Bible, see if you have actually writing in there. We've talked about this before. It's important to note because the timing matters. He's talking about the high priest does this and the priests do this. And he's talking about a present time as the priest does their work. So it has to be before AD 70, all right? So if Jesus died in, let's give it again for fun, if Jesus died in AD 33, let's call it, and in some Bibles, what does your Bible say? Anybody have enough? You don't get to say it in our class. Our class, Rebecca has the right answer. When does your Bible say it was written? 60s? 64? Or is it 67 this morning? Let's pick 67, the latest date. And what is 70 minus 33? Mike? 37, all right? And so for those people that are in transition, they have been going to the temple and they have been seeing the sacrifice made, offering sacrifice at the temple, and the Mosaic law was clear. The only place to make a sacrifice was where? At the temple. You couldn't go up to your favorite mountain spot. That's what the pagans did. You couldn't do it on your farm. You had to come to the temple and then the sacrifice had to be made right there at the temple. AD 70, we talked about this morning, the temple was destroyed by Rome. And Jesus said every block of the temple would be ripped down. Did it actually happen that way? You know what Romans soldiers were paid with? Does anybody know? They were paid in salt. So you ever heard somebody say, old people, I asked my college and career class this morning, young adults, have you ever heard it? And most of them hadn't heard it. You ever heard somebody say, you're not worth your salt? Old folks used to say that, right? He ain't worth his salt. Anybody ever heard that saying? Raise your hand if you ever heard it. Because I got some common people. Okay, good. That means you're not worth your pay. You're lazy. You're sorry. You're not worth your salt. So if somebody says that to you, you ain't worth your salt. That means that's a condemnation that you're a lazy person or no good. So the soldier got paid in salt. And imagine if he had an opportunity to get a sliver of gold or a sliver of silver. What'd he do it? Well, they set the temple on fire, and it's full of gold and silver, and it melts down the brick wall, down the block walls, and it goes all the way to the ground. If you're a soldier and you got nothing else to do, you've already destroyed the city. What are you going to do there at the temple? You'll get you a pick. When I was 19 in the military, I'm going to tear that place apart looking for gold and silver. And that's what they did. So the temple's destroyed in AD 70. These people have been transitioning. When Jesus died, they did accept Christ, but could you be a Christian? I had this question this morning. Each week I'm asking controversial questions, so I'm not trying to make you controversial. I want you to think. Could they be a Christian? Could someone say, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and still go to worship in the temple? Who says yes? Raise your hand. Who says no? Raise your hand. Who says you don't know? Raise your hand. All right? Point being is they could go to the temple because at the temple you were supposed to worship who? God. So because you have a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, they were in between and betwixt, right? These 37 years are ish, whatever the years are. So you could say, okay, I could see how they like their old ways because y'all do the same thing. How many of you sit in the same seat every Sunday when you come in? And you see somebody in your seat, you better not tell somebody that's my seat. If somebody tells me that, we're going to actually unbolt that pew and throw it in the trash. So don't tell somebody that's your seat because it's not your seat. We all, if you give to the Lord's work here, it's all of our seats are all of our seats, right? Just move to a new one. But the tradition of, listen, we eat the same Thanksgiving dinner, do we not? Same Christmas. I've seen a young person, is it called a quinceañera? Is that a 15, 16? I saw this week going, what is, I remember the family. I'm like, oh, she was dressed up like a queen. I'm like, that's crazy. It's a lot of money to spend on the event. But it's a tradition, right? And so what we understand when we look in the Word of God, the writer of Hebrews is writing to those people that are transitioning, right? They've been both temple, and now the temple's ripped down. Their kids were raised. If they were 37 years, they had children. Their children had been raised in the temple, and now those children are hearing that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. But listen, we don't keep to those old traditions anymore. Because Jesus taught, this is what he argued with the Pharisees and the scribes constantly, you don't follow Moses and the Mosaic law, you follow the traditions of men. That's your problem. If you followed Moses, you would understand me. Because it was prophesied that I was coming. But you don't follow Moses or the law, you follow the traditions of men. You've taken the law, you've modified it, Rabbi so-and-so has made it this way, Rabbi so-and-so has made it this way, Rabbi so-and-so has made it this way, and you choose who you follow. Today we do it in the Christian faith, we do it in denominations, do we not? Well, I like this denomination because they do this, and I like this denomination because they do this, and we divide and split over denomination versus Christ. Same thing with the Muslims. We talked about this morning. Did y'all know Islam has at least 13 different denominations? We don't think about that, but they are divided as well. They're not like, oh, just one harmonious group. When we come to the Word of God, the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, understand you come through this time, but Jesus Christ is Lord. He's greater than the angels. He's greater. And he goes in, he sets up that Jesus Christ is God. All right, now we get to verse, here we go, chapter 2. Big setup, here we go, chapter 2. Because it starts out with a therefore. Therefore, what is it therefore? We're backing up. It's from chapter 1 that God had spoken in various times and various ways through the prophets to our forefathers, to their forefathers, right? So who is this Bible written, this passage written to? It's to the Hebrew Christians, but also those who are Hebrews that are on the borderline with Christ. They're trying to find out, is this Christ really real? And then ultimately, because he wrote it to them, guess who gets the benefit from it? He wrote it to you and me. Because all scripture is God-breathed. And this is useful to understand who God is. So there's a big therefore there. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. That's a big question. Verses 2 through 5 is a run-on question. You've heard of run-on statements. That's a run-on question that goes on and asks the question. So we want to answer that question this morning, and it talks about a spiritual drift, or if you have a King James Bible, it'll say slip, slide. It talks about going away from the natural things. And we understand that this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, give us words, ears to hear what your word says today. And bless our hearts today, Lord, with your word. And may we be more and more like Jesus as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Well, I want you to look at your notes if you have notes. It is possible for a floating vessel. Well, this is some naval terms, right? How many of you guys have been to the lake before or to the ocean? You ever had your boat drift away? What? Oh, I gave you some notes. It is possible for a floating vessel to drift away from a dock. True or false? Especially if you let a kid tie it up, right? Well, it looks like you just wind it like this, and you'll get that drift if you've never experienced that. How many of you have ever dove in and had to go get your boat or somebody else's boat? Anybody? Yeah. It's not a good feeling. And if you go to Lake Murray, it's a terrible place. I chucked my kids. I'd never been to Lake Murray before. My brother took me, and I chucked my kids with life vests on. Thank God they had life vests on, and I threw them in Lake Murray. I didn't know Lake Murray was a river running through the lake. I thought it was Lake Murray sitting still, but because I was used to upstate lakes, like Kiwi and things where it's nice and calm. Now, you throw your kids off a pontoon boat in the middle of Lake Murray, they're gone. The current is running through the middle of the lake. So if you don't know that, beware, right? I've had to dive in. Alex, go get your brother. Alex, I'm going to get the sister because we had to swim them back to the boat. Because the current moves like that. So there's a warning. Likewise, a vessel at sea, listen, this is important. A vessel at sea can drift and be knocked off course. And typically, such drift is caused by wind, current, or other natural forces, but more often it results from what? Human error. Yeah, some dummy that watch didn't do their thing. Human factors such as fatigue, distraction, miscommunication, and inexperience can lead to mistakes that cause a vessel to go adrift and often run aground. In the same way, it is possible for us to spiritually drift. Well, I got that about human factor there from a law office, so I didn't quote it directly, but I mix it up. The lawyers actually who sue, they go after and say it's human error majority of the time. When I was in the Navy, we were in the Caribbean, and my job was our captain couldn't come in our top secret space unless we sanitized, but he loved to read the top secret board, and so we could be a courier and take it to the bridge. And one night, I had a midnight shift from 12 at night to 12 in the day. I go up to the captain on the bridge, and he's up there just sitting there daydreaming, looking out at the dark sea. And I said, "Captain, what's that smell?" He goes, "It's called the ocean." Right, because we're locked in. We're locked in a space, and we were always made fun of because we were a detachment to that ship. It's called the ocean. If you come up here more often, you would smell it. I said, "Sir, it smells really fishy, though. It's like I've smelled the ocean. I've been in the Navy all this time. It smells really, really fishy." I said, "Why aren't we sitting still? We wouldn't DIW. You know that term, dead in the water, DIW. So we're sitting there." He said, "GPS is down. We're having issues. They're rebooting some certain things. So we're just floating right now." Well, guess what happens in the Caribbean if you float? You're on your way to Australia, just so you know. You eventually get there, right? And so the smell of fish was so strong. I mean, "Sir, I don't know if you've been smelling this whole time, but it's awful up here. It smells like fish." And he goes, "Smith, your nose is too sensitive, yada, yada." We looked out. He said, "Quartermaster, go look out and see if there's any issues out there, any dead whales or anything floating near us." We were within feet of a coral reef. And I just happened, he was reading the board, the quartermaster goes and looks, there's a coral reef, because all the systems were down, and everybody's just waiting for them to be rebooted, but we were drifting toward a coral reef. And the smell of fish was coming off that, because the tide was down, and the smell was coming on the bridge. They did not heed the warning. Had I not come up, I don't know what would happen. If we would have hit that, we might be at the bottom of that coral reef or beside it as a natural, unnatural coral reef, so... Those signs are there, and it's from human error. Somebody messed up and rebooted the wrong way, had to restart all the systems. It was human error while we were drifting, but we didn't do what we should have done navigation-wise. So if you're not careful, if you're on a boat on the lake or you're on a boat on a pond or a river or in the ocean, you can drift. But you know, the point here is the spiritual drift. Let's continue. I want you to see your notes. This passage, what the Word of God says. God has granted believers the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Did you know that? Yes or no? God has granted to you at least one spiritual gift for His glory. It's His will, and it's for the local church where you are fed and you feed. You come back and give and you take, right? When everybody, how many of you guys were your hands, somebody shook your hand this morning and said, "Good morning, it's so good to see you." Anybody get a hug this morning? Yeah. I did too. I got more than one because Adrian won't stop putting out lies when he puts out notes online. When you see Pastor Clint, make sure you give him a big hug. Last week, it was Zach. Zach was working as an intern. I said, "Zach, if you make that deep three-point shot," which Zach is terrible at basketball. He's a good wrestler, but he's getting better at basketball. But I didn't stand a chance of actually having to pay out this debt. And I said, "If you make that three-point from there, I'll give you a hug." Because Zach came in, he shakes my hands. Zach's a toucher. He loves to be hugged and affirmed that way. He shook my hand later. I said, "Quit shaking my hand, man. One is done for the day." I said, "But if you make the three-point shot," Mike was there. I said, "I'll give you a hug." He swishes the three-point shot and gives me a great embrace, and it was really good. So he got me. I said, "Would you take $20 instead?" "Nope. Bring it in." So anyway, we went in with a hug. Y'all, so God gives these gifts. He makes a certain way. Some of us are like, say, we're like porcupines, right? Some of us are like those otters that just like to play all the time. There's other people just want to embrace like a koala. They just want to hang out. God's wired us so differently, and it's according to His own will. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 tells us very clearly, it's His grace that He saves us through faith. It's not of our own, and not something you think up, not something I'll do that next week. It's when the Holy Spirit speaks, you respond to the Holy Spirit. Then He says, now that you're a Christian, now that you're filled with Me, I want you to go and actually fulfill the gift that I've given you. You can have a man and woman with the same spiritual gifts, and it looks completely different, but similar. How many of you think the gift of hospitality, who has that gift? Anybody? You just want to feed you? Yeah, there's many of you that's like, "Pastor, you should come to Thursday morning Bible study. You'll find out the gift of hospitality." The senior adults and the different folks that come to Bible study, The food is off the chain good. I shouldn't open that up to the church, but it is. It's at 10 o'clock on Thursdays. It's pretty incredible, is it not? We get to read the Bible, and we get to get the both words, both bread, right? Living and physical. And so we eat well in there. My wife has to give hospitality. I opened up the freezer, and everybody says, Pastor, are you eating okay since Wendy's gone? What do y'all think the answer to that is? I open the freezer, she says, this one's on Monday. Eat this one for lunch, set it out on Monday, and you'll have it ready for Monday night. And she's got all these little micro casseroles for two. Well, I've gained weight since Wendy's been gone, because I've been eating for two, right? Instead of for one, I'm like, I don't need to leave that in there. I might as well go ahead and finish that. So I got tomorrow waiting for me. I want you to look at this. Because of God's final revelation through his Son, Jesus Christ, and because of Jesus' superiority even to the angels, we must pay much closer attention to the message we have heard. And this is from the Hebrew, but also for us today. If we ignore this warning, we risk neglecting the very word of God. Neglect in any area of life can be damaging, but how much more dangerous is spiritual neglect? And I put in the Romans 10:17 for you to read. The Bible says your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's something that actually we grow. Obviously, we see things. You can watch movies. We record things. But the hearing of the word of God, somehow God uses that. That's his prerogative, and that's his way of taking the word of God, taking it in, and it filters out our life. It pushes out sin. He'll say, thou shalt not commit adultery. What do you think God meant? Suggestion? His opinion? Thou shalt not steal. Why? Well, there's ramifications for stealing. You might go to jail. You are causing harm to the one you stole from. You causing harm to your family if you get locked up, right? You actually cost of that item to go up if many of them are stolen. There's a lot of ramifications, so if we just follow what God says to do, don't do it, we would be all right, would we not? But like the Hebrews, we today are hard-headed, are we not? Have you ever failed God and like, this week is going to be an awesome week, and you get confronted with something and you fail? It's like, God, I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me? That's how we should run into back to the Father. Would you forgive me? What's the answer? Yes. Has he already forgiven you for all of your sins? Some people get hard on that and go, well, he forgave me on the cross, so I don't have to say anything else about it. It's settled. There's people in our town that are this way. There's people that come to our church and left our church because they said, you preach that we have to actually ask God for forgiveness on a regular basis. I said, well, 1 John 1:9 says that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to keep short accounts with God. Imagine if you did wrong in your marriage and you never said, I'm sorry, and you didn't talk about it anymore, and it happened again and again and again. What's going to happen? There's a song called, right? Big D don't mean Dallas, right? There's divorce that happens because the relationship gets strained and you stray away from each other because. But what happens if you come back and say, man, what's this? Honey, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Now it's on her, is it not? And can she say no? She can. It's her prerogative because she's her individual. But if she says no, what happens? Is there a strain in the relationship? Not with you. You're good with God, but you're waiting, right? Forgiveness is something that you don't actually have to actually come to the place. And listen, when somebody says, well, they won't forgive me, so therefore I'm not going to forgive them. Is that the Jesus way? What do we do ahead of time? We forgive and work through it, right? But when someone asks me, and this is why you should train your children. When our children did wrong with each other, you can ask them. They had to say, I'm sorry for what I did. No, I'm sorry, right? How many kids do that? Sorry. They throw their shoulder into it. Our kids had to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me for stealing your toy or whatever it was, or breaking your whatever it was? And they got into fights. My kids were competitive. And listen, when y'all see that mission video for Thailand, I know the team that went. Don't think they were not competitive trying to pound the Thailand people. They were not trying to show them the game. They were trying to pound it and have American superiority. I know exactly that team I sent was competitive that went over there, that we sent, right? So my kids were the same way. And when they were real little, they used to get mad at each other and they would fight and they would get to the point. And if you ever said, I hate you in my family, which didn't happen, I don't think ever, but they heard other kids say it, so they would try to attract it. That's when punishments kept being meted out. So I made my kids put their noses together like this. You ever done that? You ever sing the song, Let's Rub Noses, like the Eskimoses? You ever heard that song when you were little? Who knows that song? Raise your hand. Adrian, don't shake your head. Look, there's a hand back there and a hand right here. So I made my kids put their noses together and say three nice things about each other or get a spanking. Bowen, you remember doing that? Where's Bowen? You remember doing it? Is it true? And Bowen would always say, your hair looks good. And they had to touch noses. And then he would say, your breath stinks. start over, right? And would tell them the truth. And then they would, and my oldest was like, Dad, this is dumb. I was like, you can either do this or you can take a spanking. What would you like to do? And they would sit there and say three nice things about each other. And then they would start laughing because they couldn't remember what they were angry about. And it turned into the comedy hour. And they were laughing and things were settled with laughter. And it wasn't as bad. Not every time, but that's a lot of times they settled things that way. Let's continue. I want you to see this. Romans 10:17 is very clear that our faith, our increased faith. And remember this. This morning I had a roll of red tickets and I had a roll of white tickets. And I was going to staple a ticket to each of your bulletins, but it would have been a waste of the tickets and it had been too long to do it. But the red ticket symbolizes what we're going to come up to next. This leads us to our critical questions. The red ticket is the ticket everybody's born with. It's an actual ticket that's punched, ready to go. No one ever asked this question. I've never heard preachers preach this question, but what must I do to be lost and go to hell? And the answer is nothing. That's your red ticket. You have your ticket punched already. When your mama gave birth to you, you had your ticket punched to hell. Like AC/DC talked about a highway to hell, you are going to hell because you have a ticket to go. How do you get the other ticket? That's a natural ticket that you get. Everyone gets around the world, no matter your nationality, ethnicity, everyone gets the red ticket saying, I've got my ticket to hell. So what must I do to be lost? Answer it. And go to hell? What is it, church? Nothing. There's nothing to do. Just be you. Just live life. Enjoy life. That's a guarantee. But the second question is, what must I do to be saved and go to heaven? That represents the white ticket I was going to give you this morning. You don't get those for free, even though it's free. You must do something in the point of receiving. That's it. You don't have to do anything. There's no work to do. There's God's grace settles on you. His heart speaks to you, and you go, I am completely undone before the Lord. I am a sinner, and I'm on my way to hell. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. The Bible says it this way, and if you look at Acts 16, let's go there if you would, and look just for a moment. What Acts says, what Peter preached on that day of Pentecost, we go back and look at what must I do to be saved? And there was a cry out, and I might have given you the wrong passage there, but it's actually the day of Pentecost. What must I do to be saved? What is it? Repent and be baptized. Yeah, I was in a hurry. I was typing. Go to Acts chapter 1 if you would with me. Acts 1, verse 16. He talks about men and brethren. This scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth of David concerning Judas. And he goes in through that, and he preaches. He continues to preach the coming of the Holy Spirit in chapter 2 when he goes, the day of Pentecost has come. The crowd's response, they come up and they ask, what must we do to be saved? And what does Peter say to be saved? What must you do? Repent and what? Be baptized. The point of repentance is who? Who do you repent to? The Lord Jesus Christ. You believe what the writer of Hebrews is saying. You believe what Jesus said about himself, because the writer of Hebrews says, how much greater the message of angels or the Mosaic law, how strong was the law? And who was the lawgiver, by the way? Who gave the law? Not Moses. Moses was the interpreter. Who gave the law? God did, but specifically everything that was made, including the law, was made by whom? Jesus Christ. So Jesus, and he said, I come to fulfill the law. Did he know, was there authority and power in the law? Yes. Was there authority and power when the angels spoke or did miraculous things? Yes. And it all came from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, that was strong. But now that Jesus Christ has spoken in the flesh today, how much superior, how much stronger is that message that we must listen to that message and we must heed that message. You ever told somebody to heed the warning? Listen to the warning. Wrong, wrong, bridge out ahead. What do? Stomp the gas or push the brake? If you're an intelligent person, you'll push the brake. My wife wants us to drive all the way up and look at the place first and see if it's real and then turn around. But and you put the brakes on, right, and you turn around, you go the other way. That's what repentance is turning from your sin, turning from yourself, and turning back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people have heard the gospel, can articulate the gospel, and may even profess belief in the gospel, yet they have never truly confessed their sin or received the free gift of salvation. Is that true? I had this conversation this past week. Someone knew every step of the gospel, every bit of the gospel. And I said, when were you born again? They said, I've never been born again. And I'm like, so are you going to heaven or hell when you die? I guess I'm going to hell. This was a professional conversation and very articulate in knowing the gospel and knowing the outcome of not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, I didn't grow up in church. I was like, poor you. I was a little sarcastic there. It's not about going to church. It's not about having a knowledge. It's about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord says it, it's true. And when you believe, say, Lord, I believe what you said. I want to confess with my mouth and I want to believe in my heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus died for your sins. He really was buried in a borrowed tomb. He really did rise again. God raised him the third day according to the scriptures. This is true from the word of God. If you put your faith and trust in that and you just call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says you shall be what? Saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, shall be saved. You must receive that free gift of salvation. He will never force himself on you. Well, we go to the word and look what happens. People are satisfied with the way they are. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, listen, you ever thought about this? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How amazing is our God? Romans 6:23, the wages, we understand the payment. If you got a paycheck, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. You say, well, I know that. Well, then you're just like these people. You have a head knowledge, and you're in between and betwixt of, well, I'm a Baptist. I've been baptized. I'm a Methodist. I've been whatever it might be. And you're stuck with the trappings of man versus the word of God. And you have to turn your faith, your face, as it were, into the face of God and say, God, I believe. And I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And every time someone actually can profess the Lord Jesus Christ, they did it publicly. They did it publicly. They were not embarrassed in front of Christ because Christ changed their life. It's like Caleb this morning. That's their public profession of faith. Mike asked him the question, have you given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Do you want to live for him all the days of your life? Not trappings of religion, not caught up in rituals, not praying to saints, not having a certain necklace to do your prayers and get forgiveness. Listen, your forgiveness comes on the cross. Amen. Jesus died for you. He really did die. He really was buried. He really did rise again the third day according to the scriptures. Well, God revealed his holy standard of righteousness in the Old Testament. Those who rejected his word received the just penalty for the heinous sin. Is that true? Listen, you say, well, heinous sin, that sounds pretty bad. It's evil. You are God's enemy if you're not a Christian today. The Bible says you're enmity, which means you're the enemy of God. And what does God do with all of his enemies when you die? He's prepared a place for the devil and his angels and anyone who wants to be God's adversary or enemy. If you don't love Jesus here and now, why would you want to be with him for eternity? So he's got a place for you, and that place is called hell. That's where you're naturally going. If you don't want Jesus now, you definitely won't have Jesus then. For all eternity, you'll be paying your own price, and he'll allow you to do that because he's a gracious God. That don't sound much like grace or love to me, does it? Do you? No, not if we think of it our way. It's God's, listen, God's love is immensely more than we can even imagine. His grace, deeper than we can ever fathom. But God will, listen, God will allow people to go to hell if you don't love his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except how? By me. You got to come through Jesus Christ to get to the Father. The Father lives where? His dwelling place is heaven. So Jesus said, you're not going to heaven unless you come by the way of me, Jesus Christ. John 14:6, look it up yourself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, finally, so how will we escape if we ignore such a great salvation now revealed through Jesus Christ and his gospel, his new covenant? How? The answer is no how, no way. It's not going to happen. You're not going to escape if you ignore such a great salvation. This salvation was first spoken by Jesus and then confirmed by those who heard him directly. Pastor Eddie read this morning about Peter. Peter said, listen, we heard him. We heard from the Father. We heard him. And he goes on later and says, we touched him. We were with him. And we're telling you, we were moved by the Holy Spirit to write what we wrote. Paul wrote it as under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Peter wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Every word that you have in this Bible that's actually scripture was moved by men of God, written as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, some of the Bible I don't agree with. There's a three-letter word and a three-letter man, God, you can take that with. His name is what? G-O-D, right? Beyond that, God himself testified to its truth through signs, wonders, and miracles performed by Jesus and the apostles. So if someone calls themselves an apostle today, just ask them to turn water into wine. Just ask them to actually, and then take the wine down to the Red Cross and see what kind of blood type Jesus has, right? You can't turn, no man on this planet can turn water into wine. There's chemical ways you can do it, but I'm talking about turning it. Go find out with the blood. If the priest says he could turn water into wine through some Latin words and a sign of the crucifix, take it down to the blood bank and find out if Jesus had A plus or O negative, right? And then inject some of it in your body because that should make you holy because you'll get the blood of Christ within you. Don't do that, but I'm just telling you. That would prove it to me. Or bring the dead back to life. I'd take a deaf man, make him hear. If someone claims the title of apostle, tell them to prove it. When we were kids, we used to say, put up or shut up, right? I don't know if kids can say that anymore. You can't say shut up. All right. Beginning at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has given believers spiritual gifts according to his will. God is clear. Do not drift, but anchor yourself in the truth of the gospel and walk in the salvation he freely offers. Isn't that a beautiful thing that he does? He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. That's over 3,000 years old. Is he still doing the same thing for those who are walking in the paths of God? Could an Old Testament man be a righteous man? Yes. Could an Old Testament woman be a righteous woman? Yes. Could an Old Testament child be a righteous child? Yes. Well, let's flip it over to the New Covenant. Can a New Testament man be a man of God, a righteous man of God? He must. Can a New Testament woman be a righteous woman of God? She must. Can a child be a New Testament child that follows God in righteousness? They must. If they're going to live righteously before God. So, how far have we drifted today? When you say things, and when you say things in church, and I get emails, and I get your faces. Sometimes I record the answer with your face. Sometimes, like what? But when we ask the questions, we did last week. Still hadn't got a lot of answers. Got a lot of response. Can you go 24 hours without sinning? Have you tried this past week to try to do it? It was controversial, I know, but how many of us are saying, listen, I'm not trying that because I can't do it. That's called spiritual drift. This week, you should have took that as a challenge saying, Lord, can I do that? And you should have got away with yourself in a solitude place and say, Lord, everything's going away. I did it this week. Did I go 24 hours? I wasn't actually clocking it. I just got into a solitude place and focused just on the Lord Jesus Christ, just he and I. Take every thought captive. Can you do it? Can you actually take every thought captive? If he commands you to do it, can you do it? Yes. Be holy as I'm holy. If he commands you, can you do it? Yes. Yes, but we still live in these bodies. We know that, but we give ourselves a pass. Don't we not? If God says this and we say, but God, we live here in the 21st century. We live in Aiken. My job makes me sin against God all the time. You know what I would advise you to do? Quit your job. Get a new job. Get a new job. My wife, well, don't go there. All right, listen. Work it out, all right? My husband, my kids. But I want to challenge you today, listen, take the word of God, and you don't know exactly all that God wants you to do if you're not reading his word. As Brother Eddie said this morning, we say, we stand on the word of God, cover to cover, we stand on it, right? Even preachers a joke, from the beginning to the maps. The maps aren't inspired, the numbers aren't. But if you say you believe the word, listen, you better read the word. Because you're going to be challenged on it. What does the Bible say about, fill in the blank, what does our culture lift up? What do we glorify in the culture? Think about it. Yeah, it's money, alternative lifestyles, furries, self. We do we not? Anything I wanted to do, if I'm counterculture, listen, that's me. And what does God say about each of those things? He speaks to everything in our culture. But you'll find yourself over here like, well, Pastor, I don't want to be that conservative. Y'all are conservative. I hate that word. Can you say hate? I know the kids are here. God hates sin. That's what the Bible says. It's not being conservative, moderate, or liberal. It's about being, listen, I'm a Bible believer. This is what God's word says. I can't explain everything fully, but I believe it. And when you're in, it's like jumping into a swimming pool in the deep end. You're in or you're not. So let's pray together. Father God, we know spiritual drift can happen at any time. We know that we're guilty often of drifting, Lord, and saying, There's a time of repentance that we have of each day, saying, Lord, forgive me today, I did this. And Lord, help us to articulate the very sin that we did, because you already know about it. There's nothing that catches you off guard. But Lord, we grieve you when we sin against you. Help us as Christians to, Lord, surrender fully and say, Lord, help me. I'm tired of living the mediocre or just church attendance. I'm tired of just doing the basics. Lord, I need to move on from milk to meat. Help me to be a teacher, Lord, of the word. Help me to be a strong follower of the word. Lord, use me in a very mighty way. And I pray, Lord, our church would mature to that point that every single person in this building would be able to answer for their faith. Anytime that when anyone asks them about their faith, they would understand it. Not experts in all the other faiths, but Lord, expert in what the Word of God says because they're reading it and they're being moved by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that you actually even told the early apostles and disciples to don't take anything with them, no scripts, because you would bring it back to their memory. Lord, you do that even today. If we hide your word in our heart, Lord, we do it so that we might not sin against you. And Lord, you bring back your word to us that we might don't do that, don't say that, don't hear that, don't go there. Respond differently. Help us, Lord, to be a teaching church, a discipling church that makes disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ, which is completely counterculture. Help us, Lord, if we've gotten into the drift, help us, Lord, to get back anchored to the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and living for you and according to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. For his sake, amen. Hey, church, in every invitation, every service, we have a chance to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's put on your heart to pray, listen, I want to encourage you, lift a prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive.